Brothers and sisters, lately I've been on a kick about discipleship, what it means, and how we need to revitalize our church and even our parish in respect to discipleship. This began with a bulletin article that I wrote a few weeks ago as I was headed to my annual retreat. I hope most of you read that. In that article, I mentioned that being a disciple means that we must know Christ and know our faith. When I went on retreat, I was pleasantly surprised that the theme was discipleship, as it affirmed much of what I wrote in that bulletin article. So you can imagine now how overjoyed I am that we're entering into the part of Luke's gospel where Jesus focuses on discipleship. There are two aspects of discipleship that are pertinent to our readings today. The first occurs at the beginning of the gospel, when Jesus sends messengers ahead to prepare his reception in a Samaritan village. St. Luke informs us that the messengers arrive in this Samaritan village, but are not welcome there. This was Jesus' way of preparing his disciples for the harsh reality that while they are heralding the good news will not always be welcome. Friends, fellow disciples, this remains the case for us today. We as members of the Catholic Church possess the authentic gospel of Christ, safeguarded by the Holy Spirit and passed on faithfully through apostolic succession. Yet this good news that we possess is often treated as if it were bad news. And consequently, our proclamation of the gospel is often unwelcome. This week in particular, we may be more aware of this as we're in the midst of this fortnight for freedom, where we are, or at least should be, praying and fasting for the cause of religious liberty. Also this week, the Supreme Court confirmed what most of us already know, that the good news regarding marriage and human sexuality is not perceived this way by many, if not most people in our society. The question that we now face is, how do we respond to these issues? Like James and John, and I'm preaching at St. James and St. John this weekend, we may be tempted to call down fire from heaven to consume those who do not accept the good news. But notice that Jesus rebukes the two brothers for the sharpness of their wrath, and instead persuades them to be patient. St. Cyril of Alexandria reasoned that Jesus did this to teach the disciples that discipleship would require them to be full of long-suffering and gentleness and not revenge. Well, I think the same is true for us. We need to remember that the fact that others reject the gospel that we preach doesn't justify vengeance toward them on our part. Rather, we must show patient endurance. And this doesn't mean that we simply acquiesce to their viewpoint or that we stop proclaiming the gospel of truth simply because it's become unpopular. Instead, we must continue to preach the truth in its entirety while patiently enduring the trials that come along with living in a world that's been marred by sin. Because we know that the world is marred by sin, we shouldn't be surprised to learn that the gospel of truth and life doesn't rest well in the world. Jesus himself hinted at this when he said, "Foxes have dens, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." St. Cyril points out that the foxes and birds represent the wicked, the cunning, and impure, the demons in our world. Through sin, these powers have found a resting place in our world. And therefore, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, for he cannot rest with sin. As his body here on earth, neither can we, disciples of Christ, rest with sin. In fact, this is why the Fortnight for Freedom is so important. While we know that we cannot cooperate with sin, the government is mandating that we do precisely that by offering and paying for services that violate human dignity and the tenets of our faith. The bishops have been clear that we cannot and will not comply. As disciples, we must work against sin. We work against sin not by seeking vengeance upon sinners, but by calling sinners to conversion, by proclaiming to them the good news that comes from living in accord with Christ and the joy that that brings. And in order to do that, we disciples of Christ need to follow his commands ourselves, and we must prioritize Christ in our lives. In the gospel today, Christ reminds us that as disciples, he is to be our priority. Nothing else can take precedence over him. I think that in our country, many people fail in this respect. In particular, I'd implicate my own generation, which has by and large bought into the false notion that faith can be practiced apart from church, apart from religion. Even more disturbing is the number of people who don't realize that when they attend softball games or dance recitals or other activities over Mass, they've essentially prioritized these other things over Christ. And in doing so, as Christ himself says, they prove themselves unfit for the kingdom of God. As I talk to several of my friends who have left the church, or others who attend Mass only when it's convenient, but not if there's something really important like a U10 soccer game going on, I go back to that point that I made in the bulletin article a few weeks ago. Faith won't grow if you don't want to know. Many of my friends tell me that they think Jesus will understand that they were busy or on vacation or had a soccer game to go to. Yet this mentality demonstrates the ignorance born from not studying one's faith. It shows that they don't know what Christ himself actually said. For as our gospel reading today makes clear, we cannot place human activities over discipleship. St. Basil the Great preached that a person who wishes to become the Lord's disciple must repudiate a human obligation, however honorable it may be, if it slows us ever so slightly in giving the wholehearted obedience we owe to God. In other words, we must reject anything that leads us away from Christ and his commands. On a level that may hit close to home for some of us, this even includes those obligations that prompt us to leave Mass immediately right after communion. In fact, this past week, I was talking with two people who are preparing for First Communion and confirmation in our own parish. And they were telling me that they were shocked that so many people leave Mass right after communion. Now, granted, they do attend the two worship sites that I'm not preaching at this weekend, but nonetheless, I think that these people seeking to join our parish have noticed a real failure in our discipleship. And I think that we should rise up to their challenge and show that we're not hypocrites, but are in fact disciples who prioritize Christ over everything, including our desire to be the first ones out of the parking lot. In fact, let me make this deal with you. If you don't leave Mass early, I won't leave Mass early. And don't do this today just because I've guilted you into it. Do this every time you come to Mass because of your love for Christ. Remember that the Mass is a representation of the Last Supper. Friends, there's only one person who left the Last Supper early. His name was Judas Iscariot, and he betrayed Christ. For our discipleship to be authentic, we cannot look to burying the dead or to friends and family or to anything else if it causes us to turn our focus away from Christ. If we do, then we'll cease to be disciples and simply become another group of hypocrites. Now, prioritizing Christ isn't always easy to do, even for me as a priest. Every Saturday in the fall, I'm tempted to skip out on the 5 o'clock Mass in order to watch college football. But I don't do that because I know if I do so, I'll be unfit for the kingdom. Friends, disciples, the good news that everyone can glean from this is that if I can prioritize Christ over my beloved Notre Dame football, you certainly can prioritize Christ over the passions in your life. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who are wholeheartedly devoted to Jesus Christ.